today what we're going to do is we're going to go to the book of Joshua chapter 14, and Brother Cleo is going to come up here and he's going to read the entire chapter. And as I was Joshua chapter 14, as I was looking at the scriptures this week and I was studying, the Lord brought to my heart and my mind Caleb. And I want to talk a little bit about Caleb and make some points and illustrations to us. And he's great inspiration in his life, and it'd be a good example for each and every one of us to follow. So, Brother Cleo, why don't you come and read for us?
Morning, y'all. Joshua chapter 14. And these are the countries which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel distributed for inheritance to them. By lot was their inheritance, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses, for the nine tribes and for the half tribe. For Moses had given the inheritance of two tribes and an half tribe on the other side, Jordan, but unto the Levites he gave none inheritance among them. For the children of Joseph were two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. Therefore they gave no part unto the Levites in the land, save cities to dwell in with their suburbs for their cattle and for their substance. As the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto them, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me, the heart made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. And yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in the day that the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjathbearah, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war.
Yeah, we gave them big words to Cleo today. And thank you, Brother Cleo. I really appreciate it. This morning, I want to talk to us a little bit here about Caleb, and as my heart, and as I and as I think of May coming up, are you know going to have a revival service, there's one thing that you know, as I've shared with y'all before, and even last year during our revival, I truly desire to see a revival come to America. But in order to see that revival come to America, first of all, the revival has to come to the church. And I'm talking about you and I. And before it comes to you and I, what needs to happen is leadership in the church needs to have revival. And we as individuals, and I was really kind of, Caleb here, his life interests me. And what we see in Caleb's life is we see a consistency from his youth to his old age. And again, one of the things that that stands out as you go through and you read chapter number 14, and it's even back in Numbers, and it says, and he wholly followed the Lord. You know, there's a key to revival. There's a key to staying consistent in your Christian life. You know, most of us, what happens in our Christian life is we're up and then we're down. We're up and then we're down. We're up and then sometimes we're down for a very long time. You know, how many times have we seen in our church where someone comes in and they're real excited and they're, you know, got a lot of things going and, you know, and they're excited about being here, and then all of a sudden they're gone. You look around, where'd they go? What happened? You know, they were just giving testimony about how great God was, and now they ain't here. And they're not interested in coming back. Well, you see, for us, what happened was, is it was kind of a surprise to us, and we saw it right away. But, you know, it was some things that was going on in their heart all along. And so what I want to help us today is I want to show us some things here with Caleb that helped him be consistent in his Christian life, and I believe it'll help all of us. In our text verse here is in Joshua chapter 14 and verse number 12, and it says, "Now therefore, give me this mountain. Therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakites were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord be willing with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, I pray that you would help me, Lord, to convey to your people what it is that you would have them to hear. Father, I pray that you would give me clarity of thought. Lord, I pray that you would help me to use the wonderful example of Caleb here in the Bible to help us, Lord, to have a greater walk with you. Lord, help us to be more faithful to you. And Lord, help us in each stage of our life, Lord, to start well, to continue well, and Lord, even to finish well. And Father, we'll love and thank you for it. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, to kind of give you a little bit of background of what's going on here in Caleb's life, and this is in Joshua chapter 14. It's at the end of his life when he's 85 years old. He's still a great man of God, and he's going on to conquer some land at 85 years old, and still loves the Lord. But what had happened in Joshua's young life, in Caleb's young life, is it went back about 40 some years when God had brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, brought them out of bondage, and led them through the wilderness, and wanted to take them into the promised land. And when they got to the edge of the promised land, what had happened is there were 12 spies sent into the land that God wanted to give to the children of Israel. And they all went around and they began to look and survey the land and find out what it would take and to look and to see what they were up against in order to take the land of Israel. and to take the promised land that God had given them. And so they went in, as the Bible tells us, the 12 spies went in, and they were in the land for 40 days, and they were going around, and they were searching, and they were looking, and they were seeing what they were up against. Well, you see, after 40 days, those 12 spies, they came out, and they gathered in a place called Kadesh Barnea. And as they were gathered there, they had some discussions amongst themselves and about the land, and they begin to discuss amongst themselves and talk about the grapes, the giant grapes, and the milk and honey that flowed in the land, and they begin to talk about how wonderful and fruitful the land was, and how great it would be, and how well. The water, the lands was well planed, and crops were grown, and it was just a wonderful, great place that God wanted them to be in. But they also discussed the giants that were in the land. They also were discussing the fenced walls that were around these great cities. And they were also talking about all of the obstacles that they would run into, and how well armed the people were that were in that land, and they begin to have some doubts. You see, what happened is they had soon forgotten what God had already done for them and how God delivered them out of the hands of the Egyptians. They had forgot all about the plagues that God sent. They had forgot all about the Passover. They had forgot about how great God moved in delivering them out of the hands of the Egyptians. You know, they forgot about crossing the Red Sea and how God buried the Egyptians in the Red Sea. You see, they had forgotten all about that, and what they did is they begin to look at the obstacles instead of the promise. You see, what was the children of Israel for? Why did God choose them out? Why did one day God go to Abraham and say, Abraham, I want you to leave your family, I want you to leave your kindred, and I want you to go to a land that I will show you? And Abraham, a faithful man of God, he left, and he went, and he surveyed the land, and God told him that he would give that land to his seed as an inheritance. And he spent many years wandering around that land. But you know what Abraham discovered a long time ago? And long before he died, he understood that that land would not be given to him, but God was going to do great things in that land. And God was going to do great things with his children. You know, he began to, as the Bible says in Hebrews, that Abraham began to look for a city whose builder and maker was God. And he began to look at some different things. He began to look at what God's purpose for Israel was. You know, God's purpose for Israel was not to occupy the land of Israel. Now, he put them there, but his purpose for them is to provide salvation through the children of Israel for the entire world. Because that's where the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the lineage that the Lord Jesus Christ would come through. That was the group of people in that day that God wanted to use to bring the gospel to the world. Because God told Abraham, he said, in thee all the nations of the earth would be blessed. But you see, once the children of Israel got to the edge of the Jordan River and the spies went across, they begin to have amnesia and forget on what God had purposed for them, what God could do, and how God could deliver, and how God could save them. And they begin to look at how wonderful it was going to be in that land. They begin to look and see all the wonderful things that they were going to have, but the obstacles in that land became greater in their view. And so these 12 spies, they all got together and they began to talk. And 10 of them brought report to the rest of the children of Israel as they gathered together and gathered before Moses at this time. And they said, we can't do it. The people are too great. The walls are too high. They outnumber us and they outarm us. There's no way that we can get it done. And actually, they even went a step further. Once the children of Israel heard that, the Bible says they went a step further and they decided that they weren't going any further. They even begin to murmur and complain. They begin to even say things like, you know, hey, it's better for us to be back in Egypt and under captivity and where we came from instead of going to where they're going to go. What they were saying is we have a better chance in Egypt of living than we do going across here and capturing this land. We're going to get slaughtered. We're going to get killed. And they even come to the point where they refused to go any further. You see, Caleb and Joshua, they were different than the other 10 spies. They saw past the obstacles and saw what God wanted. They saw past the problems and realized that God had something better and God had something greater that He wanted to be accomplished with the children of Israel. And what happened is Joshua and Caleb stood up amongst the 12, first of all, and said, hey, this is not right. We can capture the land. We can take this land. We can go. God will go for us. God will deliver them into our hands. Well, when those 10 spies gave the rest of the report to the children of Israel, and they all started murmuring and complaining, Caleb and Joshua stood up again, and especially Caleb. The Bible says that Moses and Aaron, the leaders of that day, fell down on their face before the children of Israel. Even Moses and Aaron looked at the situation and thought, isn't going to happen. Ain't going to happen. We can't do it. And the children of Israel rebelled, and Caleb stood up, and the Bible says Caleb stood up and he calmed the people. And he challenged them and he said, We can go. We can capture this land. We can take this land. God will deliver these people into our hands if we only obey and do as God had commanded us to do. Of course, we know how that story goes. The Bible tells us that the children of Israel bade stones. You know what they were ready to do to Caleb and Joshua? They were ready to stone them because of their opinion. You know, I admire Caleb and Joshua, especially Caleb, because he stood up against the 12 spies. He stood up between Moses and Aaron and the children of Israel and stood up between them when no one else, when everybody else said, hey, this can't be done, Caleb and Joshua said, yes, it can be. Caleb and Joshua said, God will deliver. Caleb and Joshua said, God has given us this land, we need to go forth. But the rest of the children of Israel, no, it'd be better if we went back to Egypt. It'd be better if we were slaves and we were held up in Egypt. Well, we know how God, the anger of God was kindled against them. And we know how they spent another 40 years wandering in the wilderness because God, His anger was kindled against them, and God said that from that day forward, those who were 20 years and older would never step foot in the promised land except for Joshua and Caleb. The rest of them would die in the wilderness. You know, as I begin to think about that story and I begin to think about us today, we are not the children of Israel. In that sense, we are not God's chosen people. But you know what we are today? We're the New Testament church. We are God's chosen people for today. And you know what our purpose is? To go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and under the uttermost parts of the earth. God told us that's what we're to do. The purpose of us gathering around here today, you know what the purpose of this is? Is to get us equipped and ready to go out this week and be a witness and a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. To help us to be in charge, to help us to have the Word of God behind us and go. And I got to thinking about us and what's going on today. And as we turn on the news and we think about things, you would be amazed of how many churches and how many Christians today have quit on God. Because they're saying, well, everything that's going on in the news and the government officials that we have, it's hopeless. We don't stand a chance. Well, I beg to differ with you. We still have the same God. We have the same God. We have the same power. And you know what he told us to do? He told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. God would have never given us a job that he could not accomplish. And as I thought of Caleb and I thought of how he stood before the spies. 12 men, 2 of them said, let's go. And the other 10 said, I don't think so. Stood between Moses and Aaron and millions of people. And the millions of people said, no, we can't. We can't do it. It's too much for us. It's beyond our capability. And Joshua and Caleb said, no, we can do it. We can do it. God has promised. God has given them in our hands if we'll only go. You know, I think of the consistency of Caleb in his young life. He decided that, hey, I'm going to do what God tells me to do no matter what. I'm going to move forward. I'm going to do it as God tells me, and God said we can do it. So I'm for it. So he was consistent. He stood. Now if you think of Caleb in his consistency in his young life, that consistency carried him through his life. You know the reason most of us are struggling on serving the Lord? It's because we're not consistent. You say, well, what do you mean by being consistent? You know, some of us are only Christians on Sunday morning. And then we go home and we put our Bibles away and we don't pray, nor do we think about it again until next Sunday. Now don't get me wrong. I'm glad you're here tonight or this morning. I'm glad you're faithfully coming. But you know, being consistent all week enables you and helps you to grow. Caleb, he was consistent in his young years. That's what encouraged him as he stood before all of the congregation of Israel. The Bible says that he rent his clothes. Him and Joshua, they rent his clothes and they rent their clothes. They tore them and they spake to all the people and they said, if the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us unto the land. And so they even though everyone else were rebelling, they were willing to stand and do. And then I think of Caleb in his midlife. You know what kept Caleb faithful for 40 years in the wilderness? You see, unfortunately, sometimes when the crowd makes a decision that's not right, even the ones who stand up and decide to do right sometimes have to endure the punishment that the crowd did. You see, Caleb, He did get to go into the promised land. But 40 years later, you know, Caleb, a consistent man. You know, I don't know that I could have bore 40 years walking around in the wilderness knowing that what I could have had. But he was patient. He was faithful. He stayed true. God blessed him. And then 40 years later, when all of those, except for Caleb and Joshua, were dead and gone, God gave the children of Israel another opportunity. And then there was Caleb, 85 years old, ready to go to battle, ready to fight, ready to go. And Caleb, as he fought, he asked Joshua, which became the leader of the children of Israel, he said, "Give me this mountain." That mountain he was requesting was the one that God had told him that wherever his feet walked, that God would give him that land. And that was the land of Kadesh Barnea. You know, I really thought it interesting as I was studying that out. You know what the name of that land is today? Hebron. That land today is the land of Hebron. And you know who still possesses that land? The descendants of Caleb. God not only gave it to him, God has kept it all of these years. God showed his faithfulness. And you know what the key thing was for Caleb? And as you see throughout all of 14, as we read it, and you look at 14, it tells us here that the key to Caleb's success, and it's mentioned several times, and it says, "But I wholly followed the Lord my God." You see, Caleb would not be convinced that it was impossible. Caleb would not take no for an answer. Caleb decided that even though no one else was willing to stand, no one else was willing to do, and the whole congregation, he was willing to go, and he was willing to fight. And his key to success, his key to staying where he should be spiritually, was being consistent. Being and obeying God. And you say, "Well, where is this leading us, preacher? What does this have for us?" We need to be a consistent church. Not consistently doing the wrong things. We need to be consistently following the Word of God. Even when it goes against everyone else. We need to be consistent in our lives at home. When we get up on Monday morning and we begin to face our day, we need to make sure that we're consistent in our walk with the Lord. We need to make sure that we're as obedient on Monday as we are. You know, if we'll stay consistent, God will bless. God will take care of the things that we need. And Caleb, he was consistent. And I think of Caleb in his middle age. You know, when we think of Christians, and you know, and when somebody gets saved, there's their infancy, there's their middle age, and then there's the end. You know, I desire as a Christian to finish well. I desire as a Christian to finish well. Now, I don't think I'm near the end, but you know, I don't know. I might be. You know, I'm just like everyone else. I'm one breath away and one heartbeat away from dying. Now, when that day comes, I don't know when that'll be. But you know, I want to be consistent. I want to be consistently trusting and following the Lord. You know, and I got to thinking about our revival coming up. And I got to thinking of how God was, how God had led and directed in my life to bring me to where I am today. I've been praying for a long time. For God to move in my heart. You say, oh, well, what are you trying to tell us, preacher? You're not right with God. Well, I'm right with God, but you know, I want more. I want more. I want God to give me more. I want to grow more in Christ. I don't want to become a stale Christian that stops growing. You see, Caleb never became stale. He always continued to grow. He always continued to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to become a stale Christian. And I, in my life, my wife and I, we have done our best to follow the Lord wherever He leads us. You know, that's been down some roads that I've looked at and I've thought, wow, Lord, I don't understand. I don't like it. I don't want it. But you know what? In the end, God blessed. God took care of things. You know, I got to thinking about how God led me here to Hebron, Kentucky. I began to pray long before you all ever called me as pastor for my home country. You see, as a missionary, I come in and I'd go out. I'd come in and I'd go out. And you see, for me, it was a whole lot easier to see because I wasn't the frog in the pot. I was the frog jumping in. And you know what it wanted to make me do? It wanted to make me jump right back out and get out. Because you know what I got to seeing? I got to seeing our churches. Churches dying all over the place. You know, we talk about the pandemic that we've going through or gone through or whatever stage that it's in. As far as I'm concerned, I'm finished with it. And we talk about all the churches that have closed their doors. There's many churches, even here in Kentucky, that are closed permanently. They're not coming back. But I watched the spirituality of churches drop through compromise, one little thing after another. And I begin to look at it, and I begin to pray, and I begin to ask God, God, what can I do about it? Oh, I'd come home, you know, Tammy and I, we'd come home on furloughs, and we would drive from one end of the country to the other, and I would preach about missions, and whenever I got the opportunity as well, I would preach in churches and try to encourage them to do right. But consistently, over the last few years, churches have gone down, down, down. Compromise. You'd be amazed how many churches have totally compromised on their music. You say, well, yeah, I agree with that. You know where that started? Well, it started by compromising on their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. It started by people in the church and pastors in the church not daily praying and not daily reading their Bibles. And you know what then became easy for the devil to do? Well, it'd be easier for you to understand your Bible if we adjust a few words. Or we rewrite it and we give you one that's a little bit better to understand. You know how many people fell for that? A great number of people. A great number of people fell for that. But you know what it was? It was another level of compromise. It was another level of getting further and further away from God. And then came the music. And you know what? There are many churches around America today, and I'm not only talking about, I'm not just talking about different denominations, I'm talking about independent fundamental Baptist people. That their churches are nothing more than an entertainment center. Where they go in and their preacher tells them, oh, everything's fine, everything's okay. You know, here, let me, you know, like my dog Tiny, here, let me rub your ear a little bit, you know. Let me help you feel good about the sin that you're living in all week. You know, we need some Calebs. And we need some Joshuas that will stand up and say, hey, no, it's wrong, it's sin, and you shouldn't be living that way. You know, folks, before we can look at the world and tell the world about the Lord Jesus Christ, first of all, before we can look at the world and help them out with the crazy things that are going on in our world today, before we can stand up and say something about that, you know what we got to do? We got to start working on inside here. We got to start dealing with some sin. Christians need to start standing up and living like Christians. Christians need to stop dressing like the world. Christians need to stop listening to the worldly music. We've got to start standing up and saying, thus saith the Lord. And what I'm talking about is in your home. We husbands, we've got to start standing up and telling our wives, I don't think so, hon. I love you, but you're not going out of my house dressed like that. You say, well, that out of my house, who do you think you are? Well, the husband should be the head of the home. Now, there are lovely ways to put that. Husband, you can get your wife to do a whole lot of things if she sees that same thing in you. You know, wives don't want to, husbands, you know why your wives don't want to follow you? Because you ain't following God. I told my wife when we got married, and I do my best, I told her I would not expect her to submit to me any more than what I'm willing to submit to God. Yeah. That's made me accountable, men. On my relationship with the Lord. And you know, and I can look at my wife and say, hey, you're not, but you know what I generally find out? She's not because I ain't either. And we need some husbands that'll stand up and lead their homes. We need some moms that'll stand up and lead their children. You know, before we can really have a revival and help the world, or before we can really help the world, what we got to do, church, is we got to have a revival. You see, Caleb stayed consistent in his youth and in his middle age. And then at age 85, Caleb also was consistent. At 85 years old, ready to go out and fight, ready to go out and do what God would have him do. He was ready to go out and capture the land that God had promised to him. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I want to encourage you. Will you pray with me? Will you pray with me for revival for America? Will you pray with me for revival in Faith Independent Baptist Church? You say, well, we're not so bad. We're doing okay. We're not as good as you might think. We're not as well as you may think. You see, whenever we get to the point when we kind of puff our shoulders up a little bit and we look at it and we think, hey, we've arrived, we're okay, that's when we need to watch out. In church, I want you to pray with me about revival. I want us to really sincerely pray. And what I want to encourage you to do is I want to encourage you to go home, examine your heart and your life. I want to encourage you this week to pray and ask God. You know why Caleb got the mountain? Because he obeyed God. You know why Caleb got the mountain? Because he went and he asked for it. Can I ask you this morning, what are you asking God for? In your prayer life, what are you asking God for? Oh, my prayer life's probably a lot like yours. Lord, help me pay my bills. Keep me safe on the road. Lord, I need this. Lord, I need that. Lord, you know I'm troubled today. Lord, give me. Lord, I want. Now again, I'm not saying don't pray those things, because we should take every petition to the Lord Jesus Christ. But what are you praying as a Christian for God to give you? And I'm not talking about just a slight mention in prayer. I'm talking about getting on your face before God and saying, I want this. Can I share with you what I'm praying for? I'm praying for revival. I'm praying, praise God, for the last stand. I'm praying and asking God, God, will you do something in this heart? Show me whatever it is that I need to do to confess and get right. But I also, as your pastor, am praying, God, show your people what we need to get right. Show your people what we need to do. Because, folks, I really believe most of us, and I'm as guilty as you are, we're just living from day to day. We're living from week to week. We thank the Lord. Praise God. We made it through another week. God, help me to get through the next week. But what I'm praying for is revival, so that we're not just praying to get through the week, but what we're praying is, God, Mary needs to be saved. John needs to be saved. And not just praying about it, but going and doing something about it. The Bible tells us we have not because we ask not. Or we ask amiss. Yeah, no, we really don't believe it. We're really not willing for it. You know, I got to thinking again, and I'm gonna quit. I got to thinking about Caleb and Joshua. What made a difference in their life? What got them through the wilderness and into the promised land is they wholly followed the Lord. Church, I believe with all my heart, just like many of you all, we are in the last days. You know, many times we say that, but do we really mean that? What do we mean by the last days? Well, I mean the Lord Jesus Christ is on his way back for his church, and that could be any day. Now, do I know the day? No, I do not. But I believe we are in the last day. Let's make one last stand. You say, well, what if he doesn't come in my lifetime? Well, you can stand before God and say, hey, I was faithful. I was faithful. I did what God put me here on this earth to do. And I want to encourage you to do that. Will you stand with me this morning? And for a moment here with heads bowed and eyes closed, I got some questions. First of all, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If you were to die in the seat that you're sitting in right now, could you say for 100% sure heaven is your home? Will you raise your hand as a testimony to that? That you're saved. You know the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. You're on your way to heaven. All right, you can put that hand down. I wonder, is there anybody here this morning that might be able to say, Brother Mark, I don't know. If I died today, I'm not sure that heaven would be my home. Is there anybody like that? Don't be ashamed. I'll not call your name out. I probably wouldn't remember it anyway. Just want to pray for you. Church, will you pray and ask God to send revival in your heart? Send revival in your life enough that we can make a difference in this world. It's not over. It's not over. Father in heaven, we're going to have our invitation. And Lord, there's some hearts that need to get right. There's some praying that needs to be done. Lord, there's some folks that you're dealing with situations in their heart. Lord, I pray that you would just help them, Lord, to let this be the day that they put their faith and trust in you. Lord, let this be the day that, Lord, they do whatever it is that you're speaking to their heart about. And Father, I pray that you would help us to grow as a church. Lord, I pray that you would help us to have revival. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to follow the examples in the Word of God. The success of Joshua and Caleb was because they wholly followed you. They obeyed you. You rewarded them because of their obedience. And Father, I want to see revival in myself. I want to see revival in the church. And I want to see revival in America and in the country. Lord, I don't believe that you're done. Lord, I want to finish well. And Father, we'll love and thank you for it. In your name we pray.